Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We got Kayla on the board. We got Katie on the 2020s. Anthony's in the producer booth. Meredith is out here live on site at the Fairview Park Tavern. How you doing, buddy? Happy Browns game day.
Happy Browns game day to you. Game day conditions, by the way, driven by Classic Chevy of Menor, Jeremy Hamilton, the entire wonderful team over there.
It's like you've done this before.
I think I can do them all off the top of my head. At least the ones in my hour.
I'll be honest.
We can try that out.
I might just have to kick my feet up and let you just do those for the rest of the day. I mean, any way I can responsibility on this one. I'm like Kevin Stefanski handing the play calling off to Ken Dorsey.
No, but you
get this away from me.
You're in the beautiful spot when you drive the pregame. You're in the beautiful spot because then you actually just dish off all the actual hard work to everyone else. That's what I do every Sunday. I'm like, all right, so tell us about those game day conditions, person sitting next to me.
You're like my laziness Sherpa. You're going to lead me up that mountain one way or another here. Obviously, the Cavs did go to 16-1 last night. That was a fun win, kind of a carefree win over the Pelicans. They now have, I think it's 3 games in the next 10 days to rest up a little bit and take a little steam off the Cavaliers' engine. But today is about Browns and Steelers in a game that it sure seems like if I take the temperature of town on the Cleveland Browns and Browns fans in general, if I take the temperature based off what I've heard, the feelings going into this range from anger to apathy, and then there is a nice little hopeful crowd as well, given the Steelers kind of bugaboo on Thursday Night Football playing AFC North teams.
Yeah, Nick, I just get angry. That's where I'm at right now.
Now, is that different than anything else?
No, anger seems to be that's the fastball that we own.
Yeah, okay.
But I just think about what this game could have been. That's all I've thought about all day long, is what this game could have been, where we should be. We're supposed to be laughing at the Steelers right now. They're projected to finish last in the AFC North. Everyone should be wondering whether or not Tomlin should be being fired at the end of this season, which now it seems like he's going to win Coach of the Year. This shouldn't be the case. We should be talking about what a pivotal game this is to not only showcase what this team is on the national stage, but to also then push towards the postseason, and instead we're sitting here and talking about a 2-8 football team.
I mean, it still is a pivotal game, just not in the way you want it. We'll get to that in a minute, but there is a lot at stake for both teams here, even with the Cleveland Browns. But I think the sad thing is, I don't want to say that I'm apathy, because I'm excited for this game, and I think you can sell a fight that they can keep it competitive.
Okay.
And like, if you can keep it competitive, then by the end of the game, you should have a chance to win.
The Tyson Paul fight where it's competitive in the sense that, you know, Jake Paul kind of let it be competitive?
Like the Steelers are gonna tap Mike Tyson on the shoulder and tell him to ease it up?
Well, so
or is there, or, sorry, they're the Steelers. They're Mike Tyson.
Basically.
Sorry, I got it.
You know, every AFC North Steelers game, it feels like, is always close. Is that why?
You know, by the way, not always. I heard a few people be like, well, it's a rivalry game, and you throw records out the window. I'm like, no, there have been some times.
Steelers don't really blow out teams, though. I mean, you're right. There are obviously instances. There's instances of every score imaginable if you want to really, like, boil it down.
I was probably just thinking of the times where the Browns would go into these kind of games previously. Well, I mean, you know, 6 years ago, and just everybody would be like, hey, throw out the numbers, and then we'd throw out the numbers.
It's my favorite football cliche.
And
when
numbers,
these two teams meet, we throw out the record books.
And here's the thing. The record books would then look even worse than the actual numbers.
But the Steelers this year just don't blow out teams. Every game they play is tight. Every game is close because they have a great defense and they don't score a bunch.
So you're saying There's a chance.
I'm saying there's a chance for a tight game is what I'm saying. Like, if you made me guess what ends up happening, it's the Steelers winning, but it's a tight game. And if they – if maybe they'll just go pedal to the metal, but when have we seen the Steelers offense really just go gangbusters this year?
That's fair. And also, Russ is coming off an exceptionally bad game.
He's not going to be able to throw the moon balls that he's become accustomed to in this game.
People are putting extra stock into that. I think what's wild about – so let me ask you. Because you feel angry about what this game should be.
Yeah.
It should be two teams jockeying for the playoffs, maybe for the AFC North crown. Like, that's what, you know, this was a playoff year.
We should be stomping their face in the dirt, ending the Mike Tomlin era in Pittsburgh, and that should be the exclamation point. Instead, we're talking about the opposite.
Okay, does that mean if they lose tonight, depending on how they lose, does that mean that the anger will only multiply?
No, okay. I'm peak anger already.
Okay, because honestly, where I am, I'm to the point where, and I mean this in a good way, all right? Clearly, I'm in therapy. The Browns can't hurt me this year, all right? They can't.
Because they already hurt you so much that there's no more they can hurt you?
Because, like, listen, the worst case scenario for some people out there is they win. Guys, if they beat the Steelers, I don't give a damn about records. I don't give a damn about the draft. A win over the Steelers is always a win over the Steelers, especially when the Steelers are good. Because here's the thing. When the Steelers spent 20 years kicking your tuchus, the reality was Steelers fans just kind of sat out the rivalry because they didn't want to punch down. Well, now the fact that Steelers fans are going after Miles and they're going after the Browns despite the fact they're 2-8, it means they've recognized and registered the Browns as a threat because of the last 4 years.
No,
I'll take that.
I think what's happening is the Steelers are getting a lot of flack because their quality wins, quote-unquote, actually quality wins. Best win they have before last week was the Commanders win, and it's just been back-to-back weeks. And I think they're trying to prop up the Browns so it can be perceived as, and it'll never be perceived as a good win, but perceived as a better win than just beating a team that they should roll over.
Oh, maybe that's what the Steelers are doing. Maybe that's what Mike Tomlin. I think Yinzers are legitimately irritated.
Did you see what Pony tweeted out yesterday?
Yeah.
Pony tweeted out yesterday, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, tweeted out about the idea that this isn't a bad loss if you lose to the Browns. It's a short week. Weather's involved. Tomlin stinks on short weeks. All these things. Like, they're trying to make it seem like it's a quality good win
for
themselves.
I think it's because they know Tomlin's been so bad on Thursday Night Football.
Which, by the way, we can completely wipe away with the idea that Russell Wilson is 9-4 on Thursday Night Football, right?
No. I'm putting it on Mike Tomlin because it feels better that way, and it feels like they might have a chance.
Like, everyone just ignoring that part of the equation.
But I think, to what you're saying, I think they're doing it so that if they lose, it's not the biggest letdown in the world. Like, I think this is all in reaction
to
Baltimore
win. They're Jeff Phelps Celtics calving themselves.
Well, yes, exactly. Except in this case, they're the Celtics, and we're like the Brooklyn Nets. Like, that's where we are this year specifically. Yeah. Oh, hey. They got two wins.
Sorry, I always go to the Hornets.
So do the Browns. But no, and I don't mean it like I don't care. I do care what's happening. And I would like to see a win tonight. I would. Because any win over the Steelers is a good win, no matter what it means in the big picture of things. But mostly, I'm apathetic. Because I don't expect them to win. That's why I mean, like, you can't hurt me. Because, quite frankly, nobody expects you to win. That's actually a fun position to be in.
No, it's not.
It's so much better position to be in
stinks.
Than having expectations that consistently aren't met, which has been the first 5 or 6 weeks of the season.
Yeah, give me the expectations. Give me something to care about because this team it's done that for the rest of the year. I got nothing.
You do care. You're angry about what this game
isn't. I'm angry about what it isn't. I think by the time the game gets going, by tomorrow, that'll be in my rearview mirror. I think it will be.
So on the other side of this is apathy. So is this like anger's last stand?
No. That's a great way to put that. I think we have lived with so much apathy for the previous couple weeks. I mean, I was the guy telling you on Sunday that I was just watching and going through the motions is all that was. I was just counting down the moments until the fourth quarter hit and they'd blow that game against the Saints. Like, I hit apathy. But this game, this was supposed to be the turning point when we talked about the schedule game for months on end. This was the game where you're like, all right, AFC North, they made it tough. You're going to start, you got the Hard Knock stuff coming around the corner, and we're going to start to see where they measure up. And we didn't even get to play the stretch of games.
Well,
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And we know where they measure up.
But remember, this Browns team has told you for a while, we only care about the AFC games. So there's a hypothetical chance here that they might get up for this, because when they lost to the Saints, well, it's not an AFC game. When we lost to the Commanders and Eagles.
When they told us that AFC games count as two?
Yeah. Yeah, so, okay, this is a rivalry game.
That's great.
It's got to count as four, right? Because it's an AFC. Well,
can you petition that to the front office?
So, actually, it's
the NFL front office?
So, it's an AFC game. That's two wins.
Okay.
We're going to do Steiner math here.
Yeah, let's do it.
It's an AFC North game. That's another two wins.
It's like how
and it's a rivalry game, a historic rivalry game. That's six wins. This one counts for six wins tonight, basically, is what the Browns locker room have told us.
Yeah, I listened to Pony to see what he was saying yesterday.
Yeah.
And he was doing some of that with TJ Watt's sack numbers.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah. He's like, well, no, but that counts as two sacks because that was an important spot. And that counts as three. It doesn't work that way, guys. Yeah.
Way. No, not with sacks, but with wins.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's totally different, this kind of Steiner math.
Let's see if they'll make this one count for four.
But I think a lot of Browns fans are rallying around the Mike Tomlin 0-7 on Thursday Night Football.
Is it negated with the Russell Wilson stat that I put out there, or is that not negated?
No, not really.
Okay.
Because in fairness, Russell's never been in this context before. So he's had success out of this context in this situation. He hasn't had it in it.
He's been dominant on Thursday night games for whatever reason.
We'll see. Because he's a weirdo. He makes no sense. But the reason why it makes sense that they would struggle in AFC North matchups is they play such a physical, uncompromising brand of football that doing that on Sunday, especially in a matchup against the Ravens, and then turning it around on Thursday.
You need time to heal.
Yeah, you really do. I think Thursday Night Football does favor finesse teams, which is kind of what I think of Kevin's, which I think is what a lot of people think of Kevin's teams, quite frankly.
Yeah. Stefanski he's got a challenge in front of him tonight, Nick. But I love that my guys in the desert really do believe this Browns team can do it.
It's either that or they're baiting the hook for somebody, and it might be you and me. Nick and Jonathan here live from the Fairview Park Tavern on Lorraine Road. We're here through the show. Come on out and see us. We got quick hits coming up at 2:40. Darryl Ryder at 3:40. Pete Futek at 4. Doran Dickerson, the Fan Morning Show on 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh at 4:20. Andrew Whitworth, Football on Prime, coming up at 5 o'clock as well. Former Bengal, former Rams, Super Bowl champion, now on Thursday Night Football on Prime. Very excited to have our full guest here. But as we get started on today's show, 216-474-0092, at Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin on social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. We're just kind of doing, I don't want to say it's a vibe check because vibes have not been great around here.
Yeah.
But as we kind of launch into the show, there's been a lot of talk about maybe this being an opportunity for the Browns to win this game. What about the Browns has given you confidence they can pull it off tonight? It's okay if you don't have confidence. But we're going to launch into that and the Nick Chubb revenge game next on 92.3 The Fan. That was Mary Kay Cabot on with the Morning Boys earlier today talking about what some, I am doing this, are calling the Nick Chubb revenge game. Nick and Jonathan back here live from the Fairview Park Tavern on Lorraine Road. We got quick hits coming up in just about 20 minutes, but I think it's interesting. I know that this is the common era of sports, but like there's a couple angles to this game that make it interesting. The Miles T.J. Watt thing are one of them. Obviously, the fact that the Steelers are playing for a hell of a lot more than the Browns are. Maybe the Browns are playing for Kevin Stefanski's job. But really, Nick Chubb and his return in return to action in the AFC North matchup against the Steelers, the team that he got hurt with, you know, last year in week two. This feels like this has kind of been robbed by us or robbed from us because the Browns have gone at every length to be like, it's not a big deal.
Oh, yeah. This would be one of the massive storylines if we cared more about this game.
Yeah. Yeah. And, well, okay. So that actually is the thing I'm most invested in this game is Nick Chubb having some success tonight. Because I'll be honest with you, I still think it was a dirty hit by Minkah Fitzpatrick.
I don't know. I mean, Chubb himself has said it's not a – well, I don't know what he's going to say.
Yeah.
He's a class guy. He's not going to turn around and be like, that dirty Minkah. You know what I didn't like, though? I didn't like that he – you could tell Nick Chubb. I think we've known Nick Chubb long enough to understand when he's actually mad while not saying anything.
Yeah.
He was either like, did Minkah reach out? Did he ever say anything? He's like, no, he only talked to me on the field, and that was it. Like, that was him saying, like, I'm a little peeved at how that all went down. And so I would wonder if there's some words for Minkah Fitzpatrick in
well,
that.
Well, and here's the other thing. The Steelers are – and this is part of the physical brand that they play – they're a little bit of cheap. They're a little cheap. They take some shots here and there.
Okay.
So, and Minkah has been flagged quite a few times in his career for things that border on dirty. Even we don't want to call him a dirty player because that's apparently verboten. You can't just call a player what he is anymore. You have to really he's...
Yeah, why does that feel so offensive when you call a player dirty these days?
Because players and... you know what? I have
it used to just be something we could just do.
Because now... media just spews the garbage, not garbage, the verbiage of the players without questioning what they're saying. And they do the same thing with teams. There at some point became in the last 30 years where if a player said it, well, a player said it.
Yeah,
like, that's
you know,
why I never bought
I
the Nick Chubb
that
thing. That well, neither of us do. But it's the thing that, like, and I experienced this firsthand in Charlotte, and I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus.
Please do.
But, like,
I love when
you
throw people under the bus.
I would hear the other shows. They'd be like, well, Ron Rivera says Cam Newton's not injured. I guess he's not injured. I was like, wait. You just bought that? No, that's not how this works. But, no, I mean, I do – listen, whether they thought the thing was cheap or not, I think Nick having a big game tonight, no matter what the outcome of the game is – matters to me.
Okay,
Nick Chubb getting the end zone tonight against the Steelers matters to
me. I feel like old Nick Chubb would have been able to call his shot. I don't know that this version of Nick Chubb with this offensive line, Nick, and that matters as well. I don't know that he can just call out his shot that way. Like if this was 25-year-old Nick Chubb, I believe if he said I wanted to go for 125 and a touchdown and make his point, he could do it. Coming off the injuries this way, and he's going to have opportunities tonight because it's going to be rainy, it's going to be windy, so they're going to give him the ball a ton. I just don't know that he can call out a shot that
way. Yeah, I don't know that he can, but that's what tonight represents the ability, and because you mentioned the right word there, is he going to be empowered to have that game? Is he going to be empowered if he has five bad carries again? Is Kevin Stefanski going to go, I guess we'll go in another direction?
I'm convinced that's what happened in the Saints game.
Or is he going to go ahead and actually continue to give him the rock? Because then we saw him in the third quarter, and all of a sudden Nick Chubb looked a little bit more alive.
Well, that's what they did. They gave him the quarter off.
Yeah.
He was averaging like 2.5 a carry, whatever it was. It was not pretty. And then they gave him the quarter off, and then he had a 14-yard run instantly. And then they felt comfortable to go back to him. But I don't know. Is that the same formula they're going to use?
I would imagine maybe it's less of that formula simply because this is an obvious game. Like the downside of the weather – and again, 85-86% chance of precipitation, that's some mix of snow and rain. The real downside to that is pretty obvious. The downside is you now have to play the Steelers game. And that's not how you're built anymore.
Well, it's not how we're built right now for sure. I don't know that the Steelers want to play Steelers football, and what I mean by that is they've really enjoyed the Russell Wilson moonball experience.
Yeah.
Like that, like Arthur Smith loves to run the ball. We all know that about him. But over the past couple weeks, like the defining difference between Russell Wilson and Justin Fields has been Russell Wilson throwing the ball deep. What I wonder about with this game, if we go into what the Steelers would actually want to do they incorporate more Justin Fields today?
I see. You can't do that because then he's auditioning for the Browns.
Okay.
Yeah. You got to think like Tomlin.
Well, think about it. Taysom Hill just lit up the Browns last week, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who can Justin Fields basically be a body double for at times?
I don't think you need Justin Fields when you have Warren and Harris. Like, that's the thing. Like, they have two really damn good running backs that can just run it in your face. And, like, I think that's – so maybe that's where some of my fear's coming from is it's like their defensive line is more physical than your O-line is, or at least how your O-line's been this year.
The O-line's had two good rookies. I remember I ripped the O-line before the season got underway, and Broderick Jones, I think, is benched already.
No, I'm saying their defensive line is more physical than
your O-line. Oh, I thought you were going to their
O-line.
Offensive
line.
Yeah,
okay. No.
My bad.
So then it's going to have to be on Nick Chubb. Like, you're going to have to give him the opportunities. You're going to have to give him latitude to maybe not be Nick Chubb. But if there's a big run to be had, it's probably going to have to be him because we should expect the Steelers to own the line of scrimmage on the Browns' offensive side of the game. I'd probably feel a little bit better if there was a no risky, no bisky element here. This is not the secondary I want Jameis going willy-nilly, though.
Well, not in these conditions.
Well, not even in these conditions. I mean,
just in general, but like, also not in these conditions. Like, 25-mile-per-hour winds, Nick. I mean, this is the game that knocked Deshaun Watson's enthusiasm out for wanting to play in Cleveland when he was in Houston. It was 35-mile-per-hour winds. Yeah. They stopped landing planes at Burke next door. Okay, like it was like we're not that far off from what that is tonight.
I mean, we'll see. I'm not giving in yet.
You're saying fraud meteorologist is what's happening here?
I'm going to say big weather wants you to believe what big weather wants you to believe.
Just a recognition that I can never trust my iPhone when it gives me weather.
I've got those apps too. But they're
always wrong. They're always wrong for me. I have no idea why. I look at them, I'm like, well, where are we at on this? And then they're always way off.
I always have the thing of where I look down at the forecast and I've just gone somewhere and I don't realize it hasn't switched back. And so I'll tell my kids to get ready and they'll be like, it's going to be 35 and windy outside, and you step outside and it's 60, mm-hmm. and I'll realize I never switched it back.
Yeah,
that's usually how
you were stuck on Jamaica weather for like 2 weeks.
I don't know
what happened there.
And my kids also had frostbite. But these things happen. We live, we learn, we move on. So we asked the question. We threw it out there. You guys can still get in. 216-474-0092. At Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin, what about this? What about the Browns has given you confidence they can pull it off tonight? Because every argument I've heard about the Browns winning this game, not just making it a game, but winning this game, involves the Steelers being bad in this situation.
I think that's what we're going to have to rely on. They're going to have to play a less than game of what we've seen. They're the number two defense in the NFL, and their offense is not great. It's middle of the pack. It's not great, but as we've said, they have the horses to win this type of game with the run game. Like, this is not setting up well for us.
So I'm torn because I do think the weather is something that gives you a little bit of a chance. My problem is every time I come back to the Browns, that's a divisional game. Yeah, throw the scores out there. That's a generic statement. That has nothing to do with where these – well, the Steelers are bad on Thursday night football. Kevin's good on Thursday night football. Yeah, but this is a pretty isolated incidence of this year being a pretty dramatic low point for these guys. Well, you know, the weather – okay, but it just takes one moon ball to put pressure on you in a way.
Right.
Like, I mean, I think, listen, can I give you the confidence? I promise you this is not polishing anything.
Can I guess what it is first?
Yes.
Is it you think they have to give a damn and that's the only way we get into this?
No.
Okay.
But I like where your head's at. No, for me, it's the fact that you've been able to, that first drive, you tend to do well on offensively. And I think if you can score the touchdown first, I do think that puts an interesting pressure on their offense.
Okay.
And I do think, like, Tomlin's one of the few guys who, if he's down 14 points early in a game, will still run the ball. But every coach in the NFL, the second you get behind, if you're a running team, you start to feel the pressure of doing that. And Russ is a goof. Like, this is the kind of game where I don't think it's that hard to get in Russell Wilson's head. Like, I think scoring first for the Browns offense puts a little pressure on them and might add a little English to this.
I think last week in the Baltimore game, I think he started to expose himself as the fraud quarterback that he is right now. Like, there's nothing about Russell Wilson that scares me. I know he's winning games right now. They've won 5 straight. He's turned that offense around somewhat. But there's nothing about Russell Wilson that ultimately does scare me. Like if I believed in this defense like I did, let's say, a year ago at this time, I would not even be worried in the slightest bit.
So here's the funny thing. Usually, going into last year, we would think, all right, their strength against your weakness, which is their defense against your offense.
Yeah.
The thing is, I don't know which defense is going to show up tonight for the Browns.
We have no idea.
So we can't flip the table and go, well, it's your strength versus their weakness, because those moon balls, like with that Russ to Pickens thing that they've done, it's two plays.
I mean, you can visualize it right now. All of a sudden, they switch. They have a matchup with MJ Emerson, and Pickens is just feasting in the end zone. You've seen this play. I know you can visualize the play right now. Corner end zone, Emerson on Pickens. Pickens grabs the moon ball, and that's it.
And with that, that has been the biggest bugaboo here recently, certainly in the Saints game. They've had some good, consistent play. It's the big plays. But again, Pittsburgh isn't great at the big plays other than the moon balls.
I just don't think they're going to be tossing it up like that tonight. I really don't, only because of the weather.
It'd be the funniest thing if Tomlin just went no risky, no bisky. What about the Browns has given you confidence they can pull this game off tonight? Nick and Jonathan here. We are live all show long from Fairview Park Tavern on Lorraine Road. Come on out and see us. We got quick hits next on 92.3 The Fan. Nick and Jonathan back on The Fan, live from the Fairview Park Tavern on Lorraine Road. We do have Daryl Ryder coming up in just 1 hour's time. Of course, we're getting you ready for Browns and Steelers. But as we have a quick moment here, let's get to quick hits. And JP, we get started here as the Cavs picked up win number 16 last night over the Pellies. That's what I'm going to call them because I think Pelicans is a ridiculous name. 128-100. Both teams had a fair amount of really good players, which meant the Cavs started first-round pick Jalen Tyson, who had 16 points, 11 rebounds, and 7 assists in 37 minutes. Head coach Kenny Atkinson here to explain how the rookie's first start came about.
I'll give our assistant coaches credit. They really pushed to put him in the starting lineup. And I was fighting it. I said, wait a second, you know, he hasn't really played at all. I'm not, you know, I was a little pretty unsure. And they pushed and pushed. I was in the elevator and with DeMar Carroll. And he goes, hey, we got to start Jalen because it's important for a young guy to be around, you know, vets to start. And I thought that was great. You know, that's why you have a staff. And it's a great suggestion that really helped him get off to a good start.
Jalen. Jonathan, can I interest you in Jalen Tyson stock now?
For one game. For one game, you can interest me in all the stock.
I don't think that's how stock works.
All the stock in the world for one game. No. Well, I'm buying at a really high price, if we're being honest about it. Am I not?
Well, no. I mean, I think it's still like, I think the market's still wondering if it's a
fluke.
Was
it what it was Tuesday? Because if it was,
yes.
If I'd buy stock on Tuesday.
How about this? I'll give you Tuesday
stock.
So it's
a lot of value
price
in that stock.
For Jalen Tyson.
Then yes.
Okay.
Then yes, I'll buy that. If you can buy some shares of Ty Jerome stock.
So I know this is just – I know in the end, like, it's Jalen Tyson. We'll see what he is in the long run. I kind of love this stuff. This is the kind of stuff I actually do eat up.
When he admits that he didn't want to do it and then did it and then gives credit?
100% when he's like, yeah, I had to be talked into doing it. I just think that's cool because I think those conversations are the most interesting conversations we never really hear.
Well, it empowers the people around him, but you really have to be selfless about that because there's a lot of head coaches that would have turned around and been like, yeah, that was my call. Yeah, team call, but my call, and I'm happy to give him the opportunity. Now, if anything, he was the opposite. It's kind of wild.
That's a good night.
That was a good night. All right. Former quarterback Brady Quinn. I don't know if you know him and love him. You know him, but I don't know if you love him or not. Do you like Brady Quinn at all?
Sure.
Okay.
He's like in what way?
Well, he's different as a broadcaster than he is as a player. He's
very
a very good-looking guy. He really is.
Apparently very virile as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're pregnant. It's like
is that a Blue Chew thing? Or? Okay.
They've been married for like 7 years. They got 5 kids, and
wow.
I think a 6th one on the way. That's well done.
How about that? Well, yeah. I wish that
Machine Gun
I wish
Quinn.
I wish his sports stakes were as good as his –
Virility?
I'm not even going to finish that. Okay. he's talking about Mike Tomlin. He suggests the Browns should have a trade for Mike Tomlin. He goes, I would call the Steelers. If I'm Jimmy Haslam, I'm going to offer whatever it takes to get Mike Tomlin and at least make them say no. Make him an offer they can't refuse. Make them say no. That would be the approach that I would take. That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life.
I think it's the most ridiculous thing, but it is a sign that Brady Quinn doesn't really understand how this works, which is wild considering that he played in the NFL and now he covers the NFL in college for his career. There's no way. Here's the thing. If Dave Tepper called up the Steelers and said, I'm going to give Yins 3 first-round picks, I don't really think they'd bite on it. I think they're quite content with Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
If the Browns did it, I just think they would disconnect the phone. Like this,
and might even like throw the phone in the trash to be like, this phone never existed.
But this is a very apparent take by Brady, just to get people talking about Brady Quinn's take. And from that angle, he has got people doing that.
Now, what's interesting to me is that if we would have had this conversation a year ago at this time, we might not be laughing him off the airwaves the way that we are right now.
Oh, yeah. Now apparently,
this has changed really, really quickly.
You heard Filippone on with the Morning Boys. Apparently, Tomlin has gone from the most hated Steelers coach in history. I wonder why that is. I mean, people from West Virginia, just thinking out loud here. Mm-hmm. And to now, he's like the exalted king. Now Mike Tomlin can do no wrong because they're 8-2, which is the perfect description of how almost anybody feels about their head coach.
There's a part of me that in the back of my brain still thinks it's going to go sideways this year.
How? What sideways?
Like sideways is over the next 7 games, they go like 2-5 and they limp into the postseason and then they're just barely competitive.
I don't think there's a shot in hell.
I think the defense is so good that might not happen, but I think because I think they're overvaluing Russell Wilson right now. I think that's on the board. I don't know about not a shot in hell. I think it's on the board.
Well, JP, we're going to keep it on football.
Omaha!
And Cowboys games on Thanksgiving used to mean something in this country, but this year's game featuring the Giants is a real crap fest. The current cheapest seat to get into Jerry World for this game is $25.
About the price for a ticket tonight to Thursday Night Football.
That's the price of a beer at Jerry World, and you can get in for that price. Is that low enough to ditch the family to watch Cooper Rush versus Tommy DeVito in the flesh?
No, because there's still nosebleed seats. I know they have a great big stadium there at Jerry World. I get that, but it's still nosebleed. Like, we're not – it's every time we do these conversations, it's not like $25 to be on the 50-yard line or $25 to have seats where you're basically calling plays. Like, it's $25, but you're up in the 500s.
It's still a game.
My TV is so much better.
It's the Cowboys and Giants. It's a rivalry game.
My TV is so much better than section 500, 400, 300, and even 200 for my money, okay?
200? I'm sorry, sir. Yeah. I'm going to need to see your TV.
I like that my better TV. It's a 75-incher. It sits right above.
Do you have a million-dollar TV that, like, listen, that's for outdoors? And
there
it,
are
it,
days
it,
in
it
West
and,
in West, you can put me on the actual heated bench that I think my TV is better. But oh, I'm certainly not doing it.
So this
certainly
is just,
not doing it for section 500.
Then you're not a game guy anymore.
No, I haven't been for a while.
Because I will say this.
I used to be a game guy. I'm not a game guy
this
anymore.
This is a debate between $25 to watch two crappy quarterbacks play crappy football, or like going and meeting with family members. That depends on whether you like your family or not.
I will spurn family in an instant. That's not the debate. I've done that my whole life. Is say family back. Back corner sports is on, okay?
They started it first.
I've made a living off of being like, hey, you to the corner, sports is the priority right now. So I have no problems doing that. But I'm not leaving my family for section 500 and $25 tickets.
You know, when Tommy DeVito does the finger thing that Italian folks do.
Tommy Cutlets.
Yeah, Tommy Cutlets. Just be ready to be disappointed. You'll think of what that day could have been.
We're going to go to college football, Nick. Lane Kiffin revealing that some coaches don't want to play in the SEC championship due to the college football playoff. Here we go.
You know, it's changed. The conference championship, you know, could have a big impact both ways for people. So I've talked to other coaches, so I'll just kind of give you the feeling from some other coaches that, you know, they don't want to be in it. And, you know, the reward to get a bye versus the risk to get knocked out completely, that's a really big risk just to get a bye.
Yeah, just to go ahead and, you know, get a bye in the playoffs and, yeah, just you know, more money. You're right. Easier path to
so
a championship.
This is a cousin of Joey Galloway's
it
take
is.
From
I'm
yesterday.
I'm so glad you said that. It's a ridiculous take, and it's right in that vein.
It's sitting right there, and I saw more and more people suggesting. I saw our – I don't know if he's your buddy, but I like him a lot. Ohio's Tate, one of the Barstool guys. It's a local kid that's
took
like,
me a second. Yeah, Ohio's Tate.
Okay. Ohio's Tate. Yeah,
just making sure.
We're saying that right.
Yep.
He suggested yesterday that Indiana should forfeit the game against Ohio State – because NCAA rules make it a 1-0 game, and the committee says they only look at the score, not anything else. And so if you have a 1-0 loss, but you win every other game, you're guaranteed to be punched in.
Why do coaches come up with so many of these straw man arguments to make them seem like they're in a bad spot? If you go to the SEC title game, you're playing for the right to get a top four bye. And by the way, I guarantee you the team that loses in the SEC title game isn't going to get kicked out of the playoffs.
Also, nobody's that scared of their shadow if they're in this spot, though. That's the problem with the whole argument. Like, you think Indiana's like, oh, we have no chance against Ohio State? We might think that. They don't think that.
College coaches are the biggest and most dramatic babies ever. I'm not gonna play for the SEC title game because I can get kicked out of the playoffs. I would bet money it's not going to happen. I would bet if you played for the SEC title game and lost to a top four seed, you're probably going to be the 9 seed, and it's going to be okay. All right, meanwhile, we get back to the Cavaliers here. Even the slip-ups are fun for this Cavs team. To showcase that, we offer up Mr. Cavalier himself, Austin Carr, talking to George Niang, and Tristan Thompson on Cavaliers Live on FanDuel Sports Network. FanDuel Sports Network Ohio, here is Mr. Cavalier.
Tristan, it looked like you got a little upset. The guy was trying to shoot the ball right in front of your face. It was like, get that out of my face.
He's going to lay for AC. AC out the dark.
Put AC in the back.
AC out the dark.
Is it a hot take to say I like AC after dark more than I do just clean Austin Carr?
I agree. Go Cavs.
I got to say, like, I want to hear, like, the SiriusXM version of Austin Carr where he's just shooting from the hip when it comes to plays like that. That was so much fun.
I have a couple interactions with Tristan Thompson at his locker room in post games.
Yeah.
And the one takeaway from one of them is, man, that man swears more than any person I've met in my life. So you know, because people that swear love other people when they swear.
Yeah.
Especially if they slip up on the radio. And you know he was eating it up.
I'll just be honest with you. When it comes to swearing, whether it's my own incredibly filthy mouth off air or being around athletes and being around sports, there's nothing that can be said curse-wise that can shock me anymore. Can't be.
Nothing.
There's nothing.
Actually, I believe that with you.
No.
You take your brain to the furthest place it can go often.
I've really thought about it. And I've been like, all right, let me string a few of these words together. Well, that's what it is.
No, but it would shock you, though. It would shock you if we had somebody on and they just – somebody you weren't suspecting at all, and they let it out. That would have to surprise
you. It probably would have been Mr. Cavalier.
Yes, if he would have spoke that way when we talked to him last week, as I'm asking him, do you agree, go Cavs? And he was like – get that bleep out of here, Jonathan. We would have been like, what? Jaws on the floor.
I agree. Go Cavs. When we come back, guys, we are, as we have said, all show long live from the Fairview Park Tavern. We got plenty to come. We're going to get back to some Brown Steelers here. We'll have kickoff conditions and the air being let out of the feud that we all really want to get excited for tonight. That's next on 92.3 The Fan.